Do you have a dirty little secret? Welcome to the club.
And you're all invited.
The first rule of the Dirty Little Secrets Club is tell everyone about the Dirty Little Secrets Club.
We're handing out memberships free of charge.
Step up to the VIP line and let Dana and Brimstone take you on a weekly ride of secrets and debauchery.
Now buckle up, Buttercup, because things are about to get heated on the Dirty Little Secrets Club.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Dirty Little Secrets Club. I'm Dana Pereira.
And this is Brimstone.
Brim, I hear you're a busy, busy man this weekend, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I shouldn't even say this weekend because I think if I could just, like, I don't know, say at any point in your life, I hear you're busy, I think your answer would be yes.
Yeah, you know, but you make time, you make things work. It's this weekend. So I'm doing a little bit last minute. I wasn't sure if I was definitely going to go out, but I'm going to go out to I'm going out to Boston after we get off this show. I head out to Boston and I'm doing an appearance for PAX East, which is the huge video game convention.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have the Rose and Locket game, which literally just launched the demo this past week on the 15th. And
cool.
Which, by the way, available on Steam free for you guys to check out. And I'm the final boss in that, you know, in that one. So it's Wrath. So if you guys check that out, you'll get to play against me and try to kill me, but I'm gonna kill you first. But anyway, and then another game that I'm doing some voices for, Crystalla, is another featured game that's gonna be over at PAX East. So I'm gonna be signing mainly in the Crystalla booth, and then I'm gonna pop over, see what's going on in the other spot, and, you know, just kind of be there to support. And then I'm heading over to Salem, so I can go over to the Salem Halloween Museum, get some pictures of the whole Brimstone exhibit.
Yeah. Fun.
So it's a lot. It's a lot. And you know, it could be worse. You know what I mean? I have no problem.
It could be COVID times. You could be sitting on your couch, twiddling your thumbs, you know, like not able to do anything. It's funny.
Thumb
I have
twiddling.
Some appearances this weekend, too.
What
Later
are you doing?
I have to appear at my son's tennis match, and then I have to appear at the vet with all of the puppies, and then I have to do an appearance at my son's baseball game. So nobody's signing
good.
Autographs, though. So
you could. I mean, I don't see why not.
Could you imagine if I just showed up at my son's baseball game and just, like,
with
put up
tens?
A table and started handing out pictures?
Throw some 8x10s out there. What's going on, everybody?
Start charging everybody.
Yeah, you know, like, come on, man. You know, like, come check it out. Come holler at your girl, you know? 20
gotta
bucks
start
a pop.
Somewhere. Gotta start
30
somewhere.
Bucks a pop. 20
That's
bucks a
right.
Pop. Whatever you gots to do, you gots to do.
Mm-hmm. I'll just make, I'll make one. I'll sign one, and I'll sell it for $10,000. And then I'll tell everyone that I'm Banksy.
Okay. That's, is that,
you
like,
get
one
the
of those
one signed autograph from Banksy?
One of those memes. What do you call it? One of those memes. What is it that I'm gonna use, like, a picture of something else and tell them it was somebody else.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. All right. I love those memes, by the way.
So I'm gonna take a picture of Dana and say it was Banksy.
I'm gonna tell my kids that was Banksy.
I don't know who Banksy even is.
Nobody does. That's the point.
Wait, really?
Yeah. He just, like, pops up, throws some art up, and, you know, disappears. Nobody knows who it is.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's funny. It could be worse, you know? I mean, people know who you are, but they don't know who you are. That's kind of
exactly.
Scary, too.
Yeah. You have that anonymity. How nice.
So, what do you call it? We are going to talk about a topic today, guys.
Where people don't have anonymity.
Right. Matter of fact, one of the people just broke their anonymity in a big, big, major way. I got things to say about all that. Like, I'm in shock and awe. So we did want to put out, it's very, very important, and Dana brought this up, and I think that if you guys have any sensitivities towards certain topics that have anything to do with, you know, talking about children and bad things happening to them and so forth,
yeah.
This is a trigger warning right off the bat, because there's a lot that we're going to be discussing in this. And it has to do with the brand new documentary, Quiet on Set, talking about, you know, Nickelodeon and former stars and, you know, people that were in charge that shouldn't have been, a lot of things. So, I mean, do you want to take it for a little bit? Because
you know, if there are, whenever you think of child stars, you know, Drew Barrymore, Jason Bateman, you know, there's so many of them, and it looks like they're living the dream, right? Mm-hmm. And although some of them might, if they had the right protections in order, there's so many child stars that came out the other side because, and they're struggling. We see them in the news. We see Lindsay Lohan. We see Britney Spears. We see Drake Bell, who we'll talk about in this episode at length. We see Amanda Bynes, who we also need to talk about at length. And these kids were kids that grew up in an era where there weren't a lot of protections in place for them.
Don't forget, Britney Spears came from that time too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely she did. And so it's really sad to see that these kids that were supposed to be living their dream, they were so excited whenever they got these roles, and it ended up being, it took their lives away from them in a sense. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really sad. So this documentary in particular is about Nickelodeon and the cast of All That, the Amanda Show, Drake and Josh. There's a ton of them that were on Nickelodeon. But something that got me, so there's one guy who is the producer slash creator of all of these shows, and his name is Dan Schneider. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, Dan Schneider is a real piece of shit.
Yeah. I mean, you know what's crazy? And I'm not, and again, you know me, I'm not defending this because I'm, you know, I agree with you 100%. But it really depends on who you ask. You know what I'm saying? What you didn't know is I actually met him.
Tell me you have a picture with Dan Schneider.
I do not have a picture with Dan Schneider. I did meet him. It was at Kamikaze in LA. They were doing an All That reunion. Mm-hmm. What do you call it? You know, I'm friends with Kel. You know, so, you know, I believe Kel introduced me to him or introduced me to whoever there. And again, at that time, it was before all this came out, even mm-hmm. though it had happened. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We didn't necessarily know about it because people were keeping tight-lipped, and, you know, and then that Me Too movement came about, and, you know, other things happened, and now people are speaking a little more forwardly about, you know, what had happened to them in their past.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people that still support this guy. As seen in his response video, So one of the guys who was on iCarly, I can't remember the name of the guy, but he wound up doing Boogie, I believe is
yeah.
his name.
Yeah.
And he, what do you call it? He did an after documentary interview with Dan, and it seemed like he was like, oh, you know, and like kind of cool with his responses. Again, we didn't even talk about everything yet, and I'm already going
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that Dan Schneider did, because, yeah. I mean, if you watch this documentary, and I highly recommend that you all go and check out Quiet on Set, it will blow your mind, especially if you're like our age-ish, mm-hmm. Where you grew up with some of that. Maybe you're a little bit older than it, maybe you're a little bit younger, but everybody knows that All That was on TV. Everybody knows about mm-hmm. iCarly. Everybody knows about Amanda Bynes and, you know, all of that. What they might not know is, or no, they do know. If you watch the show, mm-hmm. there was a lot of adult humor on those shows.
More so than the cartoons, you know, of that time and still moving forward, where there's always a little adult humor sprinkled in, and you won't, you know, only the adults would realize it. You know what I mean? And not saying that that's right either, but you know, at the end of the day, I get
Little
that. You know what I
adult
mean?
humor is okay, but
This
not
is
when you're
dirty.
sexualizing
Yes,
children.
agreed. There were moments where, you know, just to give a general theme of things, one hyper focusing on the children's feet.
Oh my God. So many toes and mouths,
There
so many
was
feet rubbing
pickle
up close.
pickle man, what do you call it, the
Pickle
pickle
boy.
boy, which we're gonna have a whole conversation about him. But then there was a nose boy or something like that, and
That looked
on
like he had
his
dicks on him.
right he had
And then
penises. It
he
looks like, yeah,
sneezed, and basically it was a cum shot to the
cum
woman's
shot,
face.
right? It just like, how, you know what I mean, how are you doing this?
How does this stuff make it to TV? Ariana Grande was another one on there where she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so thirsty, just dumping water on herself
Upside
and
down in a bed, and
upside
then
down in a bed.
taking a potato. Give me the juice, give me the juice. It's like, how do
And
you do
shaking
that?
it
Like,
and
seriously?
squeezing it.
Oh, you know, like, oh, I can't, I
And
can't.
somebody, here's the thing, and these kids, whether they felt comfortable, whether they knew what it was about, what or what it symbolized or not, all of these kids were afraid to lose their jobs.
I
They
know.
were trusting these adults that were on set with them to like if they were to say, I don't feel comfortable sticking my toes in my mouth, and they would find another kid that did feel comfortable.
Yeah. Another one of the things, just before we get off that topic, on Zoe 101 with Jamie Lynn, where, what do you call it? They had a little thing. It was like a thing of candy, and the girl couldn't get the candy open, and she was trying and trying, and then all of a sudden it like spewed in her
Squirts.
face. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like dripping like jizz off her face. I
And
mean,
that's not the
that's
only one.
disgusting. You know, on a child, on a
On a
child.
yeah, nobody tuned into Pornhub for this. This was on
Right.
a child, on a little girl's face. Then, I mean, what about Miranda Cosgrove of iCarly? She's like on her knees while water fountain is like spewing into her mouth. There's
Yeah.
another one with Victoria Justice and somebody else with a shake weight shaking them.
Right, shaking the weights. Yeah.
It's so concerning. And the thing is, if we think back to that time,
Right.
anytime somebody said anything, if somebody was like, ooh, that doesn't feel right, you were accused of having no humor. Oh, it's just a joke. Like,
Right.
shut your mouth. You're no fun. Like, you don't know how to take a joke. That was kind of the mentality back then. And I remember being in several positions where I felt uncomfortable, but was so afraid to be told that I can't take a joke or I'm no fun or we don't want you around. Or, and I'm not the only woman or man out there that experienced this that felt uncomfortable.
And let me say something, that if you, of all people, were feeling uncomfortable in any manner, things must have been really bad. Because
Yeah.
you are a very, you know, open person, and you really, you know, so for you to say that you were, you know, feeling concerned about saying things and so forth in your past, that's alarming. That's
Yeah.
alarming. You know, they're getting on to some of the stuff that Dan Schneider did. I mean, one, he allowed all this to happen. It came from him as the head lead writer in the writer's room. The women that were in the writer's room, then there were only two. What do you call it? They were made to split a salary. Now, I've been told that, you know, other people have done it before. Is it common? No. And I don't believe that it is legal either.
It's not legal.
I don't believe it is.
Nope.
And, what do you call it? He gave
Especially when the
these.
men weren't forced to share a
Right.
salary.
Agreed. Now, his excuse for that was that they were brand new writers, but I do believe that other people were new writers as well,
Yep.
and they gave them full salary. So, you know, he obviously, you know, thought he was going to get one over on the girls. The thing that really killed me on the women's one, the writers thing, was when he had the one woman bent over in the writer's room, you know, like having to scream as though she was being anally penetrated. Was that what it was?
I'm not sure if it was anally penetrated, but what he did was she was telling a story about high school, and
Right.
he jokingly, in quotes, said to her, "Oh, you know what you should do now? You should bend over the table and act like somebody's, you know, getting you, like having sex with you." I don't know if it was anally. I don't know if it was vaginally. He wanted her to pretend like she was being fucked, I guess, over a table,
right.
And tell that story again. And
in,
she was
in
like,
goddamn
ah, ha,
writer's
ha,
room.
Ha, ha. And then
yeah.
he was like, no, really do it. No, really do it. And she did, because she felt, and you could see on the documentary that she felt so uncomfortable even talking about it.
And none of the men in the room even did anything,
nobody
which
did, because
that's
you don't
even
question
worse.
That man.
Fuck that. I would slap the taste out of his goddamn mouth if I was in there. You know, there's certain things that I'm like, all right, you know, maybe I would let this pass. Maybe I wouldn't. But like 9 out of 10 or 9.5 out of 10 things in this documentary, I was like, no fucking way. Like, no way. You know, like there's stuff you just don't say, you don't do, you know, like, you know, and again, you know, like, I'm not prude in any way or by any means, but there are certain things that you just don't do in the workplace. You know what I mean? Like even as close as you and I are, or on Grindhouse, as close as Kim and I are, you know, in a million years, I wouldn't, like, we might joke around and talk, you know, stuff, but I would never take something and, you know, inappropriately like squirt something in your face or you know, tell you, you know, reenact this or like, or especially things that would hurt you or upset you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, given you both, neither of you are underage either. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'm talking about the adults anyhow in the writer's room. You know, like, I would never want you, either of you, to ever feel uncomfortable like that. You know?
Well, it's
like,
interesting
why wouldn't he?
Yeah. It's interesting when somebody has a place of power. I just remembered that not too long ago, and it wasn't even a man, it was a woman who had said to me, like, I told this guy that you're dirty. Like, you should go and fuck with him and say a bunch of dirty stuff to him. Like, be nasty, be raunchy. And I was like, did it to me. This was a year ago. So this guy walks in and she's like, this is her. This is the girl that I was telling you about. She's the raunchy one. You can be fucking raunchy with her. And I was like, so uncomfortable. Because she expected me. Now, I joke around all the time and I can be raunchy, but I get to do that at my own will. I don't get commanded by somebody to be raunchy with somebody or to tell raunchy jokes or whatever. And I was like, I had to like scale it back and disappear. Like, I wanted to disappear into the walls whenever this happened.
How did I not know about this?
I didn't really talk about it. And it wasn't somebody that was employing me. So it was just a person who perceived themselves above me. But this man who was employing people would make women come to him from the wardrobe department and massage him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was getting to that one. Yep. No.
And
what?
If you'd been,
what
like,
the
there was
hell?
Women that were like, oh my God, I'm so busy. I have to work on this show and I have to work on this and I have to take time out of my day to go give gross ass Dan Schneider a massage.
Yeah,
Hire
no, it's
a
so
fucking
degrading.
masseuse if that's what you want.
It's
You
so
don't
freaking degrading.
Make a woman who is supposed to dress your cast give you a massage. Not in the job description.
He was having some of the girls on the show give him back massages. I'm pretty sure I saw Amanda Bynes, you know, shots of her giving him back rubs. Maybe Ariana, maybe a couple other people, you know, like, that's some wild shit right there. That's just off. And I listen.
Little girl touch you like that.
I'm gonna say this and take it from where it's coming from. When you're on set, especially set that you're going to be on for either, you know, days, months, year, annually, whatever it is, you become a little tight on the set. You know what I mean? People get
like
a little
a
loose.
Yeah.
It's a very family, you know, environment. You know, so sometimes things come out or said that, you know, maybe it's a little inappropriate. And sometimes you let them pass.
Totally.
But there is never a time where you have a young lady who's one of your stars for your shows put their hands on you in any way, shape, or form. Now, again, so that happening now, people would be on it in a heartbeat. Then it wasn't like that, you know, like, and that's why so many people got away with the things they did. They employed not one, not two, but three that they mentioned on the show, on the documentary, that, you know, literally fondled and raped children from the show. I mean, do you want to jump onto that now, or are you still going on about Dan himself?
Well, I mean, the one thing that I would like to say about Dan quickly, and then we will move on, is these kids that he, like, said, and let's talk about the toxic work environment that he put these people into. He was a man that had two per- he was Jekyll and Hyde, right? He was nice sometimes. He was a monster sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But his relationship specifically with Amanda Bynes is so concerning to me, because nothing came out about whether or not it was inappropriate. Right. But I do sometimes feel like maybe the proof is in the pudding. This poor girl grew up and her life shriveled. It completely unraveled. Now, I cannot say whether or not he played a role in anything inappropriate with her, but I can say with some confidence that her level of child stardom probably, and then having to transition into adulthood, probably played a pretty significant role there.
Well, one, I do believe she's got schizophrenia. I believe that she is mentally got things going on. And I believe that a good portion of her issues came from, I think she was having family issues. She was trying to emancipate
herself. From her parents,
From her parents. And I also believe that she is under the same thing Brittany had.
No longer. She was under a conservatorship for a while. She isn't anymore, but she's still not doing great. And it's really, really sad to see.
She was always an adorable little girl. She was so bright and fun and funny, very talented. I loved Amanda Bynes as an entertainer. You know, watching with the kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For so many years, I used to, oh, it's the Amanda Show. Yay. You know what I mean? Like, always really cool, always
so
fun.
So comedic. And then she was so good.
When she went on and then she did, oh my God, I can't believe the I just lost the name. Easy A, right? Easy A?
No.
She was in Easy A with, what's her face? The redhead, who just did, what do you call it? Super jumping. What is it called? Furious jumping. Yes, furious jumping. That's what you didn't watch that movie yet. Oh my God, it's crazy. What do you call it? I can't believe I just blanked on it.
Isn't Aubrey Plaza Easy A?
No. Or I think she might have been in that too. But what's her name? Emma Stone.
Am I thinking of a different?
Emma Stone.
I might be thinking
Easy
of a different movie.
Yeah, that's the one where she has like the Scarlet Letter. You know, she does that whole thing. What do you call it? Right?
I did see that movie. I do not remember Amanda Bynes in it.
She was okay. So during the whole thing, she was always doing. She was saying that she was doing things with people for.
Oh, but she really
gift
wasn't.
Cards or money, but she really wasn't. And then Amanda was in it. She was the holier than thou. Christian girl what do you call it? And she played like a psycho in that, but she was amazing. She was great in that.
She's a great actress.
And then I've seen, I'm going to be honest. And again, take it where it's coming from. I wasn't body shaming. I'm not shaming at all. I'm not putting down. I saw some pictures of her and I guess I hadn't seen any of this stuff with the hoopla or photo. I was like, who is that? And I was told that's Amanda Bynes. I'm like, that's not Amanda Bynes, you know, like Amanda Bynes is, you know, a pretty young lady, you know, like, and she's like 30 something now, you know what I mean? Like I said, there's no way that's Amanda Bynes. And it's like, no, that's Amanda Bynes. And then I looked it up and I go, oh my God, it is Amanda. Mm-hmm. Holy crap. You know,
yeah.
Like the world has done some nasty things to this poor kid.
The change is significant, and it is really, really, really tough to see. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, she's not like the only kid that came out of Nickelodeon that had a hard time. And definitely one of those reasons is production assistant Jason Handy, who unfortunately was fucking handy with some children.
And wasn't Jack Handy one of the things in one of the shows?
I don't remember. Was it?
I think so. Wasn't it like
I don't remember.
Like what do you call it? Like messages from John something Handy or something like. I could be wrong.
Maybe.
But yeah. Like anyways, it was not good. This Handy dude was like
one of three that they arrested for being a child molester at Nickelodeon.
Nude photos to a 13-year-old girl.
I think she was 11 at the time.
Was she 11?
Yeah, okay. And he sent
an 11-year-old girl. That doesn't make it any better.
It makes it like, yeah, it, I mean it's all bad. 11, 13 doesn't matter. It's fucking terrible. He was at her house giving her kisses and telling her not to tell her mom that they were kissing because she got upset whenever he tried to stick his tongue in her mouth.
Awful. How do you do that? I don't know.
Well, that's what's worse, man, is so he sends nude pictures of himself masturbating to this 11-year-old girl via email. And this was back when people, I guess, didn't realize that you would get busted for doing something like that. Like,
yeah.
So he does that. They go to his house. And this breaks my heart. The mom didn't want to be the person that said anything. So she didn't. She didn't call the cops. Mm. She didn't tell anybody. The FBI or whoever it was investigating had to call her and say, your daughter is not the only one. It happened to other kids. We're investigating it. Now we need your story.
Can you imagine if somebody tried coming near my kid? Do you know what I would do to them if I even had a slightest inkling that something was going on? I would break people in two. I don't understand, even at that time, why anybody would stay quiet. You know what I mean? I get it. I get it that you don't want to lose. And I blame certain parents on some of this too. And I know they probably kick themselves in the ass every day about it. But you know what? You have to say something or nothing's going to happen. I don't care if you're scared. You need to say something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And again, I'm not trying to victim shame. You know this. I'm saying in general, like, how do you not? Your child is obviously in danger. Why would you not say something about it?
Her solution was to just keep her kid away from that guy. And what's unfortunate is...
And what about everybody else's kids?
Exactly. That's my point. What's unfortunate is she didn't think past her own kid. Right. And that opened the door for him to victimize other children.
Yeah, that is just disgusting. And I mean, you know, it goes... He got arrested. You know what I mean? He got locked up.
They found
I don't know how long he got.
1,000 images of child pornography in his home. Ugh. Over 10,000 images. And this man was working on a Nickelodeon set with children on a daily basis.
Do you blame Nickelodeon for this? Or do you blame
I think Nickelodeon overlooked a lot of things. I think that Nickelodeon and the people, because they had to do their due diligence. The third guy that they busted, they didn't really go into a lot of his story.
Right.
But the third guy that they had busted had already had a record for acts against children.
Right.
And Nickelodeon totally
problem.
Overlooked it.
And they didn't have, well, at the time, I don't think that they had things in play. They didn't have the systems to kind of look things up like they do now.
There is a lot of things that missed. They got through the cracks. How, I don't know. I also think that Nickelodeon overlooked a lot of things coming when it came to Dan Schneider because he was a hit maker for them.
Right.
But yeah, this guy, Jason Handy, production assistant, he's arrested. Now, not too long later, another person, Brian Peck.
This is the worst.
He is a monster.
Beyond
is
monster.
Also arrested for the same kind of shit.
Now, again, we mentioned to you guys earlier in the show about trigger warnings. If you're gonna, you know, if you've listened up to now, you know, none of the things that we said were, you know, even anywhere near in the vicinity of as bad as what we're going to talk about
it
right
now. It gets worse.
So this is the worst part of the entire documentary, in my personal opinion. So if you have any issues with this type of conversation, I suggest you turn off the you know, the show for now. Fast forward it, whatever you got to do, because we understand. But the fact of the matter is, moving forward, I never in a million years thought that what happened to Drake Bell would happen to Drake Bell. He, after however many years, has finally come out and spoke his truth in the fact that he was raped, sodomized, abused in every which way, shape, or form, and it breaks my heart. I cannot understand how anybody could do that to a child. Nonetheless, you know, how he then had to go out and put on a big smile and pretend like nothing was going on. And I feel for his father, who watched his son like a flipping hawk, and he knew something's up with this piece of garbage.
He fucking knew.
He fucking
had a
knew it.
Sixth sense.
And that stupid fucking mother, I'm sorry, she should go fucking straight to hell, right to hell. Do not collect, go, do not pass, go, do not collect 200. This woman is a piece of shit. She didn't want to be bothered driving to the auditions or whatever. So the exact person that the father was protecting his son from, she openly gave him full access and round-the-clock access to her freaking underage son, who was then absolutely treated like a piece of shit. I am, you could go into more and elaborate. I am beside myself. I don't give a fuck. I'm sorry. You know, any mother who would not listen to reason and to put their kid in that position, I don't care if you didn't know. If the father felt that strongly about it, and this is, I'm in a divorced relationship where I had two young kids, and my ex didn't like to listen to me when I said, you know, this is alarming. This is alarming. Do not do this. Do not, you know, and she didn't listen. And I always had my kids, you know, everything, you know, with my children is it was important to me that they were safe. Let's just put it that way. And
totally.
They were not always safe until I got full custody. And, you know, and the fact of the matter is so when I see a dimwit who thinks that she knows better, you know what I mean? And it could be the father in other situations. Not always the mother.
I don't want to put full blame on the mom. Now, do I think that she was neglectful?
I put half the blame on
you
her.
You can do whatever you want, but I don't. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So she was in a messy divorce with that guy. She already thinks that his judgment is skewed, that he's just saying shit, that he's pissed off because Brian Peck, the man that we're talking about, has been getting into Drake Bell's head saying that his dad shouldn't be his manager anymore. He's driving a wedge between them. Now, the mom is hearing this man, Brian Peck, talk about how his dad is doing a bad job. He got in her head, too. She is in a messy divorce with this person. She already thinks that he's a piece of shit. She doesn't like her ex-husband. They're fighting all the time. They're not getting along. She doesn't trust anything that her ex-husband says or does because they're in this messy divorce. So when Brian Peck, the man who is looking out, supposedly, for her son, is feeding both of them this information, I think they were duped. I think they were tricked. I don't necessarily think that all of the blame goes on to her. I think that she's probably kicking herself in the ass and that she probably feels really, really, really bad for allowing all of this to happen. And should she have been present? Yes, but she did trust this person, even though the dad said, don't trust him. She was like, fuck you, I'll trust who I want until he gives me a reason, you know? Like, and I'm not
Well,
saying that's right. I'm not
no, it's
saying that
not.
that is right, but I am saying that if you don't trust the person that is feeding you information, if you don't trust the person that is telling you not to trust somebody else, that was a judgment call on her. Now, think of any time in your life that the person was telling you, you should watch out for that guy, and you didn't trust that person, you'd be like, fuck you, I'll do whatever I want. You wouldn't be listening to them.
I always give the benefit of the doubt, and I will always listen to both sides. That doesn't mean I'm going to necessarily go forward with it, but I will also keep my eyes open. You know what I mean? And what do you call it? Again, while I appreciate that, you could visibly tell. I, as watching him in the public eye back then, could visibly tell things were wrong. I didn't know what it was. He just was not necessarily as where you have Josh, who's like this happy-go-lucky thing all the time. Drake was very much not. And all the, what do you call it? He, you could see he was going through something. His public displays of, and actions showed that something was wrong. You know, now we, because we didn't know about this, thought, well, he's child actor things. No, he had everything handed to him. And now he's on drugs and blah, blah, blah. That's the way a lot of people's thought pattern goes. We didn't know that he was sexually abused, like not just sexually abused, like sexually destroyed. It took his girlfriend's mother to say, hey, what's going on? Because that guy was sitting and calling profusely and calling and calling and calling and then called the girlfriend's house just to
So
touch base with him.
let's give some context here
Yeah.
because not everybody has watched this and
I'm
not everybody
sorry.
knows what's going on. So Drake Bell, after this horrible, awful piece of shit, Brian Peck,
Garbage.
gets into his head, Drake Bell separates from his father, and his father ends up giving custody to the mom. That Drake doesn't want to be around his dad anymore. He's a 15-year-old boy. Him and his dad aren't getting along. Brian Peck got in his head, said his dad isn't good for him, blah, 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 blah. But his dad was the one that was there all the time. So Drake is now with his mom. His mom is busy. They live an hour away. She has to work. She can't take him to his auditions, blah, blah, blah. Brian Peck puts his fucking cape on and says, don't worry, I'll do it. And she says, okay. So Drake Bell is now spending a lot of time with Brian Peck, who
Way
at
too
this
much.
point has not done anything to him. Were there red flags? Sure. Did he have a pen pal relationship with John Wayne Gacy?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
Yes.
that. And he was proud of it.
Showing off his letters that he got from a fucking serial killer. Like, what?
Thank you for filling in the blanks.
What?
Who does that? I mean, I guess people do. I mean, that's people have this fascination with serial killers, but I mean, like,
If somebody has a
this guy's
fascination with
working
a
for fucking
serial killer
Nickelodeon.
and he's writing back and forth with a serial killer, I do not want him anywhere me. I don't want him anywhere near my children. I don't want him anywhere near my pets. Like, let's just put them all on a deserted island. If you think John Wayne Gacy is fucking cool, then you have some therapy to attend, my friend. So,
Oh boy.
moving on. So Drake is spending a lot of time with this man who thinks
Too
John Wayne
much.
Gacy is great. Too much time. He's spending the night at his house. Mind you, he spent the night at his house many times before. One night he wakes up and Brian Peck is performing sexual acts on him. He is sexually abusing him in his sleep.
Oh my God. Oh.
And Drake doesn't know what to do. He's a kid. And he says in the documentary, I didn't, what was I supposed to do? Go outside and call my mom and say, okay, come and get me. You're an hour away. I'm just going to sit here on the curb and wait for you. He was a kid and he also got the apology. Oh my gosh, I don't know what got into me. I'll never do that again. I'm so sorry.
Okay, well, they're never going to do it again because your ass is going to jail. Stay the hell away from me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm sorry. You know, like, there was so many issues with this. So many issues.
So yeah, and, wait, he has to spend a lot of time with him, right? He keeps getting sent back. You have to go do your interviews. You have to go do your auditions. He was a dialogue coach. Oh, let's work together on your dialogue. Let's, you know, I'm an acting coach. I'm a dialogue coach. Let me help you with that. So this man is trying to spend all of his time with a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And Drake gets a girlfriend and he wants to spend all of his time with his girlfriend. He doesn't want to go anywhere near Brian Peck anymore. He just wants to hang out at his girlfriend's house all the time because that's where he felt safe.
Yeah.
So Brian's trying to take him to Disneyland. Drake doesn't want to go. He doesn't answer his phone. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I'm just going to ignore it. I'm going to ignore it. So Brian is calling him nonstop. This is a 40-something-year-old man that is calling a 15-year-old boy over and over and over and over. Now, this is not his daddy.
Nope.
This is not somebody that is like, you better fucking answer your phone. You're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
He calls him over and over and over and over and over again. And when he does not pick up, he calls his girlfriend's house over and over and over and over and over again.
Who does that?
A
Like, who does
fucking
that?
Psychopath.
Like, I cannot fathom how. Continue, because I'm just, I spoke my mind. Yeah,
it is very alarming. And luckily for Drake, his girlfriend's mother saw how uncomfortable he was, saw right through his facade. He was like, oh yeah, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And she was like, the hell it is. I'm taking you to a therapist tomorrow. I'm calling your mother. And it wasn't that day. I don't know how long later Drake finally loses it and tells his mom everything that happened.
Yeah.
How he has been sexually abused by this monster for years at this point.
Right.
And they call the cops, and that is how it is found out that Brian Peck has been sexually abusing Drake Bell. Now, he's a minor, though, so all of the records are sealed.
Right.
And so nobody knows that it's Drake Bell that has been a victim of this man.
Exactly.
They know that he got arrested. They know that Brian Peck got arrested. They did not know that it was Drake Bell. Everybody's calling everybody in the cast. Oh, my God. Did you hear? Did you hear that Brian Peck got arrested? Oh, my God. I wonder who it was. I wonder who it was.
Right.
Could you imagine the shame that Drake was sitting with and he couldn't tell anybody? And that's why it amazes me that the whole world judged this boy turned man.
Mm-hmm.
He filed for bankruptcy. He was arrested for DUIs. He just so many things that the world judged without knowing what had happened to him. The shame, the guilt, the trauma that he had to live through.
What about
and
going?
He couldn't tell anyone.
What about the courtroom when he went into the courtroom? And this guy's entire side was full of huge, huge names.
Yeah.
And many who wrote letters for him in defense of this guy, asking for leniency. Now, this part concerns the crap out of me. We don't know what they were all told. You know what I mean?
It wasn't the time of the internet yet. Right. I mean, there was internet, but not everybody was on Facebook. There wasn't a whole bunch of information being spread like wildfire.
So they might have just been told, hey, he was accused of something that this couldn't be true, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And, you know,
I know him. He didn't do that to me, so it must not be true.
My big issue is there are a couple of people that were on that list of that they actually showed on the documentary that are friends of mine, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I have not confronted them, nor do I think I will confront them about it. But that's very concerning and alarming. You know what I mean?
It is, but again,
one
I
of
think
them
that
who
it
I just texted about a month ago. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
That's concerning. That's concerning.
I do agree. It is concerning that people automatically jump to the defense of somebody that was charged, convicted, even. This was letters people wrote for the sentencing, not even for the conviction.
Right.
They were asking for leniency. He was already convicted of lewd acts on a minor.
I'm just dumbfounded. I'm dumbfounded. This poor kid, man, this poor kid. And then he went on to have nothing but issues and issues and issues. Because what do you do? You know, what do you do? And now back to Dan Snyder. He supposedly says to him, he goes, anything that I can do for you, please. I'm here for you. Let me know.
Yeah.
You know, well, the first thing you could have done is make sure that this freaking predator was not on the set. That's square one. Two, you know, like for some, like I kind of feel that him saying, because Drake did say that he did, you know, he did come to him like that. So
yeah,
that was
he felt
verified.
Supported by Dan Snyder.
But in Dan's whole reaction to this entire, you know, documentary, he gave he kind of went on the Drake Bell bandwagon on that and was like, well, but even Drake said that I was there for him. You know what I mean? Like,
listen, you could do one good act and 50 million bad acts, and he's really riding the coattails of that one good act that he did.
You agree with me on that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, his apology seemed lackluster at best.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was, go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt.
No. It just amazed me that during the whole people writing letters to support Brian Peck, there were several letters where there was victim blaming. There were several letters where they were like, it is hard for us to believe that Brian Peck would do something unless provoked and tempted. Like,
right.
Drake Bell, a child, could possibly provoke and tempt. The only thing that he did was exist. There was no temptation.
Right.
If there was a temptation, it was just him existing and being a teenage boy.
Right.
And this man got 16 months
in prison.
That's
unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
He raped a child repeatedly.
Countless times.
And got 16 months in prison. I am sickened that was the reality for Drake Bell. And then Drake Bell had to live with that everybody showed up in support of his abuser, said that Drake was the one that tempted him. And then the judge went so easy on him. No wonder Drake Bell has had to endure the life that he was dealt. Like, he had to deal with it whichever way he could. And did he deal with it the best way? Absolutely not. But holy fuck, this poor man, he's still dealing with it. And he's a grown-ass man with a child.
Meanwhile, that piece of trash, what do you call it, wound up getting a job right out of prison and went and worked for Disney on another kid's show.
Insane. What?
How does that happen?
The actual...
How does that happen?
Fuck.
I don't understand how that happened. Now, Nickelodeon eventually got rid of Dan because of all this and, you know, well, not all this, but I guess continuous, you know, complaints and so forth. But, you know, like...
Yeah, during the Me Too
how many
movement,
investigations,
that's what happened.
How
the
many
Me
investigations on the one person can you have? How many investigations on one person? Is it, you know, like,
and
until you
several.
Finally get it. Right?
Yeah.
It was like one after the next, after the next, after the
on
next.
On his first show. His first show. He had an investigation opened on him. Now, for a grown-ass man who is in charge of creatively making, producing a show, writing a show.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, we didn't even talk about Pickle Boy. He had man with a thing of pickles, and he's putting them through slots on a wall
glory
that
holes.
Look like a glory hole. sticking a pickle. They're on a children's show.
Meanwhile, that's, what do you call it? That is the guy who raped, you know,
Drake. Yeah, Brian Peck is the one that was on the show. He was Pickle Boy.
Yeah. Then he was pushing Drake at some point to push Dan to allow him to be the father on the Drake and Josh show. He was like, come on, speak to Dan for me. Speak to Dan for me. And he's like, no effing way. You know, but like, yeah, you know, like pickles through glory holes. And then you got, you know, like these guys, what's his face? Who was the comedian that was eating the pickle?
Ray Romano.
Yeah, Ray Romano sitting in like, and they sexualized
with two hands, sexualizing that on a children's show.
And how does Ray Romano not realize that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I think that at the time it was like adult humor was okay. It's so bizarre, the things that we thought were okay. I mean, in the 70s, you didn't even have to buckle your kids into a car seat, right? Like the things that you think are okay and then you realize are not fucking okay. They are
not
damaging
okay.
People.
It very is, not like, okay.
You don't do this to kids. There was absolutely no protection at all. It is seriously the dark underbelly of child stardom. It was, you have to trust these people to do the right thing. And Dan Schneider, in my opinion, never matured past 13.
No, I don't think so. And I, you know, even if he didn't have malintent, you know what I mean? It doesn't make a difference. That type of humor was not, it was not appropriate.
Who was it for? They were kids watching the show. His target audience was 6 to 14.
Yeah.
That was his target audience. His target audience was not a, you know, 21-year-old male. It was 6 to 14. You do not need Jamie Lynn Spears getting a cum shot to the fucking
face. No, not at all. Not at all. And look what happened to her after all that stuff. I mean, look at what happened to her. You know, look what happened to Britney Spears after everything she went through as a child star. And, you know, I mean, like, you know, you wonder, look at what's his face? Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I can't stand Corey, you know, but at the end of the day,
he was also a victim of sexual abuse as a child.
I understand, you know what I mean, where he came from. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Think of how many, you know, took their own lives because of it. This is, it's not cool. And we need to make sure that this never, ever happens again. This is awful. You know what I mean? It's
awful. It is a disgusting, dirty little secret of the entertainment industry. And that is, it's really fucking sad. It's really sad. I highly recommend, again, I know that we've said it before, but if you haven't watched this documentary and you're interested in getting more of the details from it, definitely go. What did we watch it on, Brim? We watched it on Max, right?
Max, HBO Max.
Yeah. So go and watch Quiet on Set. That's where we got every piece of our information today. I got to make sure we're quoting our sources before we get in trouble.
Yeah. You know, again, now, and mind you, Dan Schneider has not been convicted of anything.
No.
He has been fired, though. He did get fired. But then he's also making a resurgence. Maybe this will stop that. But
there is chatter about him really wanting to reappear in that world. And I struggle with it as a person that, you know, thinks that people can grow and do better. But I don't know. After all of that abuse, I also don't think that he necessarily should be working with children again. I think it's too risky. I think it's too risky.
It's crazy. And also apparently for anybody who ever, you know, kept up on the Drake and Josh drama, you know, where, you know, Josh basically was like, no, I don't want anything to do with you. And
he
didn't invite him to his wedding. And like, there was a bunch of stuff about, you know, between the two of them. I don't know if you knew about any of that. But apparently, Josh reached out to Drake after seeing this documentary. And I don't know too much about it because I didn't read the entire article. However, it was said that, you know, they did have a private discussion about it. And, you know, they had, you know, he had.
I'm sure that there is a lot that are just learning about this. I don't know if you remember on the documentary, there was a guy, I think he was another producer on the show, maybe. His name was Virgil Fabian. And he was the one that was kind of like always there for the kids. He was the one that was always going to bat for them, trying to make them feel comfortable. He did eventually get fired by Dan Schneider. Yeah. He's on there. And whenever they're talking about Brian Peck, they say to him, like, oh, that he, you know, was arrested for molesting a child. And he said, well, not a child on our show. And they were like, yeah.
He didn't even know.
He had no idea.
No idea.
And he was there every day with Drake Bell.
Yeah.
And he had no idea 20 years later that.
Can you imagine?
That had happened to one of the kids on his set.
Unbelievable. And that was the director, I believe.
The
right?
director, yeah.
The director. Wow. Yeah, I can't fathom. You know, listen, everybody, you know, we all take these things differently. I am just, you know, when I can't speak and I can't verbalize, it's obviously very disturbing for me.
It is. It's disturbing.
You know, being a former child actor, you know, I feel like I dodged a bullet because, you know, my mother wanted to continue to pursue and have me do other things. And then, you know, my mother and my father just, you know, couldn't agree on time and so forth. So I wound up pulling me out, you know, when I had been getting started. That could have been a good thing because, you know, I mean, the trajectory
could have been
was
the
for
best thing that ever happened. Imagine you were one of those hundreds of children in the auditioning room for all that. And you didn't get picked, and it was the worst day of your life at the moment. You were so sad. You were crying. You didn't get the role. You wanted it so bad. You wanted it so bad.
Yeah.
And years later, you find out that that was the biggest blessing in your life. Thank God you didn't get that role.
Yeah, it's true. It's crazy. It's crazy. Anyway, guys, definitely check out this documentary. You know, it is very, very eye-opening. There are very few people that are out there that don't at least know either one of those shows or one of the people from one of those shows. Very, very widespread, very, very big names that came out of these shows. And the spider web of names that are attached and people is just mind-blowing and mind-boggling. And, you know, I hated the fact that I saw friends of mine on this documentary, you know,
well,
they weren't
going to happen when you know
weren't
people,
necessarily
right?
Portrayed. Yeah, some of them were not portrayed in any way, and some of them were. So
yeah, well, and we just
confusing.
Scratched the surface of this. There's so many more details in the documentary. I mean, things that happen with Jeanette McCurdy, and just so many more things that we haven't even really gone into, and we won't, because you should go watch it on the documentary.
Yeah. One of the things that he said, and I'm going to leave this, every one of those jokes was written for a kid audience because kids thought they were funny and only funny. Now we have some adults looking back at them 20 years later through their lens, and they're looking at them and they're saying, I don't think that's appropriate for a kid show. And I have no problem with that. Let's cut those jokes out of the show.
What a piss poor attempt at covering your ass.
Yeah. He said that he refuted the idea that he had complete control over the content that made it to the show, saying there were many levels of scrutiny, pointing out executives from the company, crew members, parents, and other adults on set could have raised objections. What do you call it?
No, they couldn't have, because you were the man with the power.
Yeah. I can't.
Let a parent raise an objection and then see how often their kid's on camera after that.
Well, some of them got cut off. You know, what do you call it? There were a couple of people. Again, you guys got to watch the documentary. What do you call it? Anyway, I think we're going to wrap it at that. Dana, you did an amazing job. laying it out, because you know me, I just spew.
You made me do my homework, and I did it.
Yeah. I'm sorry that I just spewed. I just was like, I was so amped to get it out.
I know,
just be so
I know.
Angry about it and wanted to talk about it. And I'm glad that you're the level head on this. So, anyway, guys, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for tuning in to the All New Dirty Little Secrets Club. We've been getting great reviews on Insta. Everybody's loving the new direction.
Yes.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Please continue to rate, review, subscribe. Also, we've been charting in Italy and other places around the globe.
United States, Canada. Oh. It's been awesome. The uptick over the last couple of weeks has been so cool.
We appreciate it greatly. So, guys, again, thank you so much for tuning in. What do you call it? Danny, you want to let everybody know the one rule of the Dirty Little Secrets Club?
Yes, guys. The first rule of the Dirty Little Secrets Club is to tell everybody about the Dirty Little Secrets Club.
Thank you again. As always, we appreciate you. We love you. We'll see you again, God willing, next week.
Think we want something from you, you got another thing coming.